The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In this sermon by Elder John Morgan Owens, we consider the topic of justification. He shows us from Scripture that there are three different kinds of justification taught in the Bible: justification by grace, justification by faith, and justification by works. These different types of justification do not contradict one another. Rather, they operate in different and distinct realms. Join us today as we begin looking at this threefold concept of justification.
The thief I'm condemned to die.
Such a man is marred. If you'll turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 3, we'll start there. This morning we talked some about the legal concept of a last will and testament, and it got me to thinking, there are a lot of other legal concepts in Scripture, and so I want us to look at the concept of justification in Scripture. And, of course, justification is a legal term. Generally, what it means is to be justified is to be found innocent of what you're charged with. And what I like to think of it is justified just as if I never sinned, right? That's ultimately, if you boil it down, that's what justified means. But we see in Scripture that justified is used in different ways to mean different things. Not every time that it says justified is it referring to being justified from our sins eternally, to being redeemed from our sins. Okay, so we have to rightly divide what the Word of God means. There's a problem that happens when we go through Scripture, and every time we see a word, we just immediately give that word a specific meaning. You know, we can go through hundreds of examples of words that we all speak and know today that mean different things sometimes, right? One of the examples in Scripture is world. You know, in John 3:16, you think about the world, and people take that to mean that God loves every single person and everybody who wants to be saved will be saved. Well, you know, there's also a world, the ungodly sense of the world. You know, we talk about the world, and Scripture mentions the world. Well, are we talking about every ungodly person? Are we talking about the godly people? World can mean a lot of different things. Here, saved is another example, by the way. When you see saved in Scripture, it doesn't always mean saved from eternal hell. You know, I mean, you can be saved as Peter was. He can be saved from drowning. You gotta think about what the word actually means instead of just immediately tagging it with a specific concept. Sanctification, justification. These are words that today people have ascribed certain meaning to it, and every time that word appears, they say, well, that's what it means. It means to be saved from eternity in hell. And that's not what it always means, okay? So we got to let the text do the talking instead of just assuming what the words mean. When somebody says in Scripture that you know, to save yourself from this untoward generation, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're responsible for saving our eternal souls? Well, if that were the case, then it does not harmonize with the rest of Scripture. See, that word can mean different things. All right, so I say all that to say, justification, to be justified, it occurs in three different ways in Scripture that I see, okay, that we know of. And so I want us to talk about those, each of those, and about how they all harmonize with one another, okay? If your view of doctrine, your view of God doesn't harmonize with other Scriptures, then it's not the Scripture's fault, right? We don't need to change what the Scriptures mean. We need to change what we believe, right? All right, so in Romans 3, this is a good example. In verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. All right, so right out the gate, we can all agree on this, that by the deeds of the law, that by you doing right, you are not going to be justified, okay? You're not going to be justified in his sight, in the sight of God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Let's think about our speeding code. You know, we have statutes in place in our state and in our nation about speeding, okay? These are generally recognized and laid out by the states. But we've got a speed limit that is set on roads. Now, what that law is it tells us what is a violation. If you're going over 55 in most places, if you're going over 65 in some or 70, then you are in violation of the law, right? It doesn't say in that law that if you go underneath that, or that if you've sped once, that you can go under 30 for a significant amount of miles, and then you'll recover yourself from breaking the law the first time. That's not how it works, okay? The law tells you what it is that condemns you, okay? The same way with the law of God, okay? The law doesn't tell us what we need to do to fix it. The law just tells us the things that are wrong, okay? And so by doing good works under the law, you cannot justify yourself in His sight, okay? And then verse 21, so we've already talked about justification by works. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All right, so we know we're not justified in the sight of God by our works. He mentions this about faith. And then he says, we're justified by grace. We're justified freely by His grace. So you want to talk about what makes you right before God? What makes it as if you never sinned? Just as if you never sinned. What is that? It is the righteousness, the blood of Christ, right? And that gift is of grace, okay? Because we don't deserve it. Verse 25, who God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And then he says this, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay, so in that one passage, we talk about three different ways in which justification is thought of. Okay, we've got at the very beginning, the first verse we read was a concept of justification by works. And then we read about a justification by grace. And then at the very end, he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. All right, so which is it? How are we justified then? If the Scripture says it's not by works, I'll show you Scripture here in a little bit that says that somebody was justified by works. And then we got a justification by grace and a justification by faith. Well, it can't all be true, right? Well, yes, it can. But we just got to look at what is under consideration. Okay, that's why we're gonna unpack this a little slower together. All right, so first off, let's look at grace. I believe it's fundamental that we look at justification by grace to understand what that means, and then we can kind of go into the others. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 8. He says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, so he tells us that it's by grace you're saved. And then he mentions through faith, and we'll talk about what that means. And he contrasts that grace with works. It's not of works, because it's lest any man should boast. We understand that the salvation that God has acquired for us, as we talked about this morning, that inheritance that you have received in the last will and testament of God is something that is freely given to you. You didn't earn it. You know, children don't earn inheritance, right? They are given it because of the love of their parents. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not going to be a golden stars in heaven or trophies in heaven given to us or crowns given in heaven to us because of the good works that we have done. All glory and all majesty and all honor will be ascribed to Jesus Christ for the work that he did, right? And he says, it's not of our works. And as a matter of fact, we are his works. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, so what Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians is you got to remember that at this time in the New Testament, that there was a collision between the Old Testament law service and many of the Jewish heritage that were still trying to hold to the Old Testament. You know, you think about the scribes, the Pharisees, those people that had to do everything just so, and they were following the law thinking that if they followed the law perfectly enough, that they could earn redemption. And he contrasts that and he says, it's not of works. It's not about those things. It is about the free gift of Jesus Christ that you're redeemed. Okay, so we know, even though there is a large number of people that still cling to that concept of works, you know, maybe they won't verbalize it and say that they believe that works save them, that doing enough good works, but they still believe that they've got to do some form of acceptance of Jesus or some other thing, and look, that's a work, okay? He says it's not of works, because if it's of works, then you've got reason to boast, and there's not going to be any of that. It is of Jesus Christ, and it is of his grace. He mentions here, at verse 8, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. All right, so what does that mean? Does that mean that there has to be some type of showing of faith in order to be saved? No, okay. He says, and that not of yourselves. This faith that you have as a child of God is something that is not of yourself. It is something that has been given to you, okay? It is the gift of God. So, ultimately, you say, well, which is it? Is it saved by grace? Is it saved by faith? You were saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, he gives you something. He gives you faith. He gives you some fruit of that Spirit that allows you to then interact with God. You know, I can't remember the verse, the address, but there's the verse that says that you have to have faith that God is before you come to him, knowing that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. Okay, the idea there, I butchered that, but the idea is that before you can even come to God to accept him as your Savior, you've got to know that he is. You've got to know that he exists. And where does that idea come from? We know that the natural man doesn't have it. The man in their natural state does not have faith. They don't see that. And so if you see somebody coming to God in faith, it's because they're already alive. They've already been given life. They've already been given that grace in Christ. Okay, so when you see Scripture and you begin to get confused and you say, well, here they are, they're saying that you've got to be saved by faith or that you're justified by faith, and then you start to get all bent out of shape, remember this. Always ask this question. Where did that faith come from? Okay, we look at Abraham, and Abraham, it says that he's justified by faith, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Well, did Abraham just summon up within himself this magical faith? No, it was a gift given to him from God, okay? You realize that not everybody has faith, okay? You're sitting here, and you're listening, and you believe that God exists. You believe in his word. That's because you have faith. You've got something already within you that you didn't generate yourself, okay? And so when Abraham is being justified by faith, ask yourself, where did that faith come from, okay? And it is ultimately, it is given to us through the grace of Christ. Okay, so before the eyes of God, we are justified by grace, okay? Let's do another one. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 3, and I'll read this pretty quickly. Verse 5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Just like what we talked about this morning in being heirs, you know, we are beneficiaries that God has made you beneficiaries. When you don't become a beneficiary in somebody's will after they've died because you do something good, right? You are a beneficiary when that person chooses you and writes your name down in their will. And then the inheritance that we receive is not $1 million. It's not a lot of property. It is eternal redemption, eternal salvation. And so He says that's not of works. It is of grace. Okay, so think about this. It's been described this many times by many primitive Baptists, but it is a good way to understand the justifications taught in Scripture. Okay? You've got these separate courtrooms, okay, and we'll sort of talk about this a little bit, but you've got the courtroom of standing before God, okay? When we come before God as sinners in our natural state, well, we don't come before God in our natural state, but you know what I'm saying. When we stand before God in our natural state, there's something wrong. Something has to be fixed, okay? Redemption, grace has to be given first. You have to be saved from your sins by Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, of course, we know that happened 2,000 years ago, okay? But then when you start talking about faith and being justified by your faith, this is a separate courtroom. This is in the courtroom of your own mind. And then, of course, justification by works, that's in the courtroom of men's opinions. And I think as we go through this, you'll understand how that works. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, then he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." I'm going to pause real quick. In Abraham believing in God, or believing what God promised, did that make him righteous in the sense that delivered him from his sins? No. To be delivered from your sins, there must have been bloodshed, right? So remember, we're talking about a separate courtroom here. And the courtroom before God, as you stand on trial for your sins and for your guilt, there's only one way that you're justified, okay? And that is that Jesus Christ comes in and He substitutes to be sentenced to death for you. He sheds His blood for you, and you are justified, just as if you never sinned. Okay, so this is talking about something different. When we're talking about Abraham's faith, being justified by faith, He says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." All right. Now, you know, obviously, having faith and believing is a work in a sense, okay? There's a time when some people come to Jesus and say, "What good works do you want us to do?" And He says, "This is the work that I'd have you to do, to believe," right? We know that belief is a work. But in this sense, here's what's happening is he is stopping His works, and He is resting in the promises of God, okay? Of course, we know that Abraham was promised that chosen seed, Isaac, right? And there was a time when he wanted to do some works to help God out, and it did not go well, right? That was the Hagar-Ishmael incident scandal, you know? Well, Apparently, there came a time in Abraham's life where he stopped trying to help God and just rested on the promises of God. That's what being justified by your faith is. All right, the example for us is that when you're going through this life as a born-again child of God, what do you need? You need peace. You need assurance of your salvation. How do you get that? You rest in the promises of God. You rest in what God has already done for you. Okay? There are a lot of God's children out there who don't have that justification by faith. As they sit there and they're condemned over their sins, and look, I have been there, okay? I have been through those prayers with God when I've sinned and I'm asking Him to please not send me to hell, okay? That's not being justified by faith. Maybe, or I had already been justified by grace before the courtroom of God. I'd been saved from my eternal sins, but the problem was that in this time, I was suffering with the bondage of my sins and not understanding what God had already done, okay? It's like I was looking at the shadows and in the corner instead of turning around and looking at the glory of God and what He'd already done for me.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.